بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. With the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we praise Allah and we ask for blessings and peace upon the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and his companions, all of them. After this, we begin by mentioning first the manner of announcing the time for salat, the time when the time of the prayer is due. This is known by the announcement called the adhan. The adhan is the announcing or the making known of the time for the prayer, for the five obligatory prayers. And this adhan has been legislated in Islam for the men who are required to come to the masjid to pray the five obligatory prayers in congregation. Both the adhan and the iqama should be called at every time of prayer. The adhan is as follows. The following words should be pronounced in a loud voice for the purpose of the Muslims who are surrounding the masjid to hear it and to know that the prayer is due. The adhan is as follows. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is said four times, the meaning of which is Allah is the greatest. Then Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And this is said twice, the meaning of which is I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped or has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Then Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The meaning of which is I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. This is said twice. Then hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat. The meaning of which is hasten to the prayer, said twice. Then hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala al-falah. Also said twice, the meaning of which is hasten to success. Then Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, said twice. meaning Allah is the greatest. Then finally, La ilaha illallah, said once. There's nothing which deserves to be worshipped, or nothing which has the right to be worshipped, except Allah. After the hearing of the adhan, it is required that a Muslim should prepare himself for prayer by being in the state of purification or tahara. And therefore, it's legislated in the Quran and Sunnah that a Muslim should perform wudu or ablution, as mentioned in the 5th surah of the Quran, the 7th ayah, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, when you prepare for prayer, wash your faces and your hands and arms up to your elbows. Rub your heads with water and wash your feet to the ankles. This is the command in the Quran in which the Muslim is ordered to purify himself or to make wudu before making salat or any other type of worship that requires purification. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is narrated in a hadith that he said, in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the prayer of any one of you who has invalidated his state of purification is not accepted until he makes wudu. And there are many other hadith recorded in the books of hadith with the same meaning. Then there are also a number of hadith which explain the excellence or the virtues of wudu, and from them is the hadith recorded in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes wudu and makes it well, his sins come out from his body, even coming out from under his nails. When the person who is going to perform salat decides to make wudu or ablution, he should make intention to perform wudu in the same way that he makes intention to perform salat or to fast or any other form of worship. And that intention or niyyah is to have a firm resolve in the heart, to have the consciousness and the resolve to perform this action for the pleasure of Allah. That is, to perform wudu, to be in a state of tahara, so that he may make the salat. And the place of the niyyah or intention is the heart, and it is not the tongue. That is, there's no need to say particular words orally, but in fact it's sufficient to have in the heart the firm resolve to do this action. And the proof for the necessity of niyyah or intention is the famous hadith narrated in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, in which is reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily actions are judged by intentions, and everyone shall have that which he has intended. The next thing that we should keep in mind that's very important is the tasmiyah, for the mentioning of Allah's name. That is, when someone has made intention to perform wudu, he should mention the name of Allah. And the proof for this is an authentic hadith that was recorded in the books of Sunan of Ibn Majah, At-Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawood. It is reported that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's no wudu for him who does not mention Allah's name upon it. That is, whoever doesn't say Bismillah, then he has no wudu. And there are other hadith also as proof of this. One of them is the hadith reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought water for wudu. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, does any one of you have water? So he put his hand into the water and said, make wudu in the name of Allah. And I saw the water coming out from between his fingers until they all made wudu. Thabit radiallahu anhu, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I saw Anas radiallahu anhu, or I said to Anas radiallahu anhu, how many were there? That is, how many people were there who made wudu from this water from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, about 70. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. So these hadiths show the necessity of mentioning the name of Allah when one intends to perform wudu. After the intention and the mentioning of the name of Allah, the tasmiyah, the first thing that one does when he wants to make wudu is that he should wash his hands up to the wrist 3 times. Passing the fingers between each other, that is, washing between the fingers in the performance of washing his hands. Number two, he should clean his mouth or rinse his mouth and his nose with water, gargling the water in his mouth and sniffing the water into his nose and blowing it out, using his right hand to take the water into the mouth and nose and using his left hand to blow the water out of his nose. Next, he should take water and wash his face, the whole of his face, from the top of his forehead to his chin and from one ear to the other, using both hands. And each of these things, that is, the washing of the hands, the rinsing of the mouth and nose and the face, all should be done 3 times. Although it is also permissible to do them 1 time or to do each of them 2 times, the best and most complete way is to do each part 3 times, except the wiping of the head, which is done only once. Next, after washing the face, one should wash his arms, the right arm first and then the left arm, from the tip of his fingers to up until the elbows and including the elbow. That is, he should wash his right hand first from the tip of his fingers, including the arm up to the elbow, and then his left arm from the tip of his fingers, including his arm, his forearm, up to his elbow, each one 3 times. Then he should wipe his head with wet hands, using both hands, from the front of the head to to the back of the head to the nape of the neck, going from the front to the back, and then returning from the back to the front one time. Then, with the same water, he may clean his ears using the forefingers or the tips of the forefingers to clean, the index fingers to clean the inside of the ears, and using the thumbs to clean the outside of the ears. And it should be mentioned here that there is no authentic hadith or any proof for the cleaning or wiping of the neck after wiping the head and ears. So it is sufficient to wipe over the head with both hands from the front to the back, and then returning from the back to the front, and then wiping the ears using the index finger for the inside of the ears and the thumbs for the outside of the ears. Then the feet should be washed up to and including the ankles. First the right foot, and then the left foot, and also using the pinky or the small finger to clean between the toes. After completing the performance of wudu, one should make the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, as narrated in the Sahih of Muslim and in the other books of Sunan Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, An-Nasa'i, on the authority of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No one of you makes wudu and completes perfectly the wudu and says, 'Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh,' except that all 8 gates of paradise are opened for him, so that he enters by whichever he pleases." The meaning of this dua is, "I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and his messenger." So after the completing of wudu, one should say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." It is also narrated in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added to this dua the following words: "Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin." And this is also an authentic hadith. He said, "Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin." The meaning of this dua, the second part, is, "O Allah, make me one of those who constantly repents to you, and make me of those who purify themselves." Also, there are a number of issues of fiqh, some of them about which there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars, and for the sake of brevity, we'll mention some of them just in passing. The first of them is the issue of washing the mouth and nose together with one handful of water. The proof for this is the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, who said that it was said to him, "Perform for us the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he called for a pot of water and he described the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that description he said that he washed his mouth and nose with a single handful and did that 3 times. Another issue about which there may be some difference of opinion, and which we'll mention in passing, is the passing of water through the beard with the fingers. And the proof for this, though some of the scholars say that it is obligatory and some say that it's only something desirable, it's certainly legislated in the Sunnah and something that should be done. And the authentic hadith narrated by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah on the authority of Uthman radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to run his wet fingers through his beard. And in another authentic hadith narrated in the Sunan of Abu Dawood and the Sunan of Al-Bayhaqi on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made wudu, used to take a handful of water and enter it below his chin and rub it through the beard, and he said, "This is what my Lord, the Great and Exalted, has ordered me to do." The next point of importance related to wudu is the use of miswak or siwak, the toothstick which is used for cleaning the mouth. And it is reported in an authentic hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, Ahmed al-Nasai, Ibn Khuzaym and Ibn Hibban on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The siwak or the miswak is a means of cleansing or cleaning the mouth and is pleasing to the Lord, to Allah." And also an authentic hadith narrated by At-Tirmidhi, Malik and Ahmed on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If I did not fear to cause hardship on my ummah, on my nation, I would have ordered them to use the siwak with every wudu." And in another narration, he said, "I would have ordered them to use the siwak at every time of prayer." So this is something that's encouraged. Whoever is able should do it, to clean the mouth as well as to earn the pleasure of Allah. Also, in the performance of wudu, it is sunnah that the washing should begin with the right hand before the left, and the right foot before the left. And this is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to begin with the right, and putting on his shoes, combing his hair, and purification, and in all of his affairs. Another point of importance is the use of water, not being wasteful in the use of the water of wudu. And it is narrated in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make wudu with a mud of water, and make ghusl with a sa' or up to 5 mud. And a sa' is equal to 4 mud, and a mud is the amount of water which is held by two hands cupped together. The point is that the Prophet ﷺ used a small amount of water and he didn't waste it. So we should be conscious not to waste the water in making wudu as well as in making ghusl. Another issue about which there is difference of opinion, but it seems after careful examination of the evidences of the scholars that the most correct opinion is that it is permissible to dry the body parts after wudu. And this is the opinion of many of the scholars from amongst the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and the four Imams. And those who have been mentioned as having this opinion from amongst them, Uthman ibn Affan, Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, radiallahu anhuma, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, from amongst the Tabi'een, Al-Hasan al-Basri, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Al-Alqama, and from amongst the four Imams, Abu Hanifa, Malik and Ahmed, and according to one of the sayings of the Shafi'i Madhab also. They are all in agreement that it is permissible after both wudu and ghusl to dry the body parts. And their evidence is what Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, reports. She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a cloth which he used to dry himself with after making wudu. This hadith is narrated in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi himself declared the hadith to be da'if, but there are a number of other scholars who declared it to be strong. Amongst them is Al-Ayni, who is one of the scholars who explained the Sahih of Bukhari, and Al-Ayni mentions that Nasa'i, Imam al-Nasa'i, also recorded a hadith which with a sahih isnad with the same meaning. So whoever, after performing wudu, dries himself, inshallah there is no harm in it, and inshallah it is from the sunnah according to the strongest of the two opinions. Allahu a'lam. The final point we mentioned here about in relation to wudu, that there is no obligation on the one who intends to perform wudu to make istinja. Al-istinja is the cleaning of the private parts, and there is no need to make istinja at the time of performing wudu except for the one who urinated or defecated. In that case, he should make istinja after urinating or defecating before performing wudu. Otherwise, there's no need for the one performing wudu who has not urinated or defecated to make istinja. It's sufficient to perform the wudu by beginning, as mentioned earlier, with the washing of the hands, and then the mouth and nose, face, etc. So this is what we wanted to mention about wudu, and now we'll mention the words of the iqama, after which inshallah we'll describe the performance of the prayer. The iqama, which means it is the announcement that the prayer is now going to be performed, that the people should line up behind the imam to begin the prayer, is pronounced as follows: Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Hayya ala salah. Hasten to prayer. Hayya ala al-falah. Hasten to success. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. La ilaha illallah. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. After the adhan has been called and the wudu has been performed and the iqama has been pronounced, then we are ready to perform the prayer, the salah. But before mentioning the description of the performance of the prayer, there are some preconditions which should be fulfilled before the prayer can be accepted. And some of the scholars have mentioned that these preconditions or shurut of salat are 9. Whoever doesn't fulfill these conditions, then the prayer is not acceptable. And they are as follows. The person must be a Muslim, sane, of the age of discretion or puberty, free from the state of uncleanliness that is the result of having urinated, defecated, or passed wind. Also free from any najas or uncleanliness on his body or clothing or place of prayer. His aura or private areas should be covered. For the men, from the navel to the knee at least should be covered. And preferably he should wear that which covers the upper part of his body as well as the lower part of the body. And for the woman, every part of her body should be covered except her face and hands. That is, as long as she is in private and not in the presence of men. Also, of the preconditions is that the time for the prayer should have arrived. The prayer cannot be performed before its time, except in special cases where there are exceptions. For example, the traveler can perform the Asr prayer in the time of Dhuhr and can perform the Isha prayer in the time of Maghrib because of the special exception made for the traveler combining the Dhuhr and Asr prayer and combining the Maghrib and Isha prayer, or similar cases to this. And the last two preconditions is that one must face the Qibla and he must have the niyyah or intention of performing the salat. And we can't overemphasize the importance of the intention, that without it no worship is accepted. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that verily actions will be judged according to intentions, and everyone should have that which he intended. But also we should be reminded that the intention is made in the heart and it is not to be pronounced by words. There's no evidence for the pronouncement or the oral recitation of words which constitute intention, such as saying, I intend to perform the Dhuhr prayer as 4 rak'ah or the Maghrib prayer as 3 rak'ah, etc. There's no basis for this in the Sunnah. After one has fulfilled the preconditions or the shurut of salat and made intention within himself, The prayer is begun by the pronouncement of the Takbir al-Ihram. And that is by saying, Allahu Akbar. One time, meaning Allah is the greatest. And at the time of pronouncing this takbir, the hands should be raised to the shoulders or to the ears, as both of these have been narrated in authentic hadith, with the palms facing towards the Qibla. After the pronouncement of the takbir, ihram, one places his right hand on his left hand on his chest. And the placing of the right hand on the left hand can be done by placing the palm of the right hand on the back of the left hand, or on the wrist, or on the beginning of the forearm. In either manner, it is correct. Then, after placing the right hand on the left, both hands should be placed on the chest, as is narrated in the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, stood in Qiyam in this manner, with his right hand on his left, on his chest. At that time, the dua is recited for opening the prayer, and there are many supplications. One of the shorter and more well-known of them is as follows. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. The meaning of which is, I declare you, O Allah, to be free from all imperfection, defect, or having any partner sharing in your lordship. And I am in celebration of your praise. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And blessed is thy name, and exalted is thy majesty, and there is no deity worthy of worship besides thee. After the recitation of any of these dua that are used for the opening or the beginning of the prayer, one says in an inaudible voice to himself, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. The meaning of which is, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed or rejected Satan, Shaytan. A'udhu بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم Then comes the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. By first saying the Basmala, that is the pronouncement of the words Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Meaning, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم The Beneficent, the Merciful الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين Master of the Day of Judgment مالك يوم الدين مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين Meaning, thee alone we worship And thee alone we turn to for help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka na'budu وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم meaning guide us on the straight path اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين عليهم.
The path of those whom you have favored.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The meaning of which is
not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor the path of those who have gone astray. And those who have earned the anger of Allah are the Jews, and those who have gone astray are the Christians, as mentioned in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ ولا الضالين. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After the recitation of Al-Fatiha, one pronounces the word Ameen. Ameen. Ameen, meaning be it so, that is, may this prayer be accepted. After the recitation of Al-Fatiha, any chapter of the Qur'an or verses from the Qur'an may be recited. From among those short chapters of the Qur'an which are easy to remember and which whose meaning is very, very important is the 112th chapter of the Qur'an entitled Surah Al-Ikhlas. And this chapter is as follows. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد. Say, Allah is one and the only God. Or say, He, Allah is one. قل هو الله أحد. قل هو الله أحد. الله الصمد. Allah, upon whom all depend. As-Samad is the one that is independent of everything in the creation, while everything else is dependent on him. Allahu As-Samad. الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد. He begets not, nor is he begotten. لم يلد ولم يولد. لم يلد ولم يولد. ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. And there's nothing which can be compared to him. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. After the recitation of any passage from the Quran, one then raises both hands, saying the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And then changes to the position of ruku'. In this position, one places both hands on the knees, with the fingers spread out, with the back bent straight, and recites the following words three times. Subhana Rabbiya Al-Azim. Subhana means the declaration or affirmation that Allah is free from all defects or any imperfection. And Rabbi means my Lord, and Al-Azim is one of the names of Allah, one of the many names of Allah, and the meaning of this name is more than great. It means also magnificent, tremendous, mighty, and so many other words, which is only an attempt to describe its meaning. Subhana Rabbiyal عظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. There are many other supplications which can be recited in ruku, as will be found in the books of hadith, which narrate the many sayings which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in the performance of his salat, in ruku, as well as in the other positions such as sajda and jalsa. After this recitation, the person returns to the standing position standing up straight, saying Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, meaning Allah is the one who hears whomever praises Him. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. In the congregational prayer, these words are recited by the Imam, while the following words are recited by those following him in the congregation. The words recited by the congregation are as follows: Rabbana laka alhamd, meaning our Lord, for you is all praise. ربنا لك الحمد. ربنا لك الحمد. For the person who's praying alone, he should recite both of these statements. That is, سميع الله لمن حمد, while he's rising from ركوع. And رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, when he reaches the standing position. And this also, when rising to the standing position, the hands should be, coming from ruku, the hands should be raised up to the shoulders or to the ears. Then saying the takbir again from the standing position, saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, you proceed to perform prostration or sajda. And this is performed by placing the forehead and the nose on the ground, along with the palms of both hands, the knees, and the ends of the toes pointing towards the Qibla. All of these seven parts are obligatory to be touching the ground. That is, the tips of the toes, the hands, the knees, and the forehead along with the nose. In this position of sajda, the person recites the following words three times: Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, meaning, again, Subhana means the declaration or affirmation that Allah is free of any faults or defects or having any partners in His worship. So Subhana is this declaration, and Rabbi al-A'la means my Lord, the Most High. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana ربي الأعلى. Then saying the takbir, Allahu Akbar. Then move to the sitting position, al-jalsa. In this position also there are many hadith recording the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of them there's the brief short saying seeking forgiveness of Allah, Allahu maghfir li, Allahu maghfir li, meaning, O Allah, forgive me. Allahumma ighfir li. Then comes the performance of the second sajda by the pronouncement of takbir again, saying Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. In this sajda, as in the previous sajda, we recite three times Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Meaning free from all defects and imperfection is my Lord the Most High. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This completes one rak'ah of the salat. The second rak'ah is said in the same way, basically, as the first, except that in the second rak'ah, after the second sajda, you should sit back in the sitting position with the left foot laying flat on the ground, pointing towards the right, pointing towards the right foot, and the right foot should be placed upright, vertical to the floor, with the toes pointing towards the Qibla, touching the ground. The palms of the hands should be placed on the knees. In this position, in the second rak'ah, the tashahud is pronounced. And the tashahud is as follows. At-tahiyyatu lillahi والصلوات والطيبات. Meaning, greetings are for Allah, and also prayers and all good deeds. The exact meaning of this sentence is much more detailed, but this is close to the literal meaning. Inshallah, the detailed meaning of this sentence will be discussed later. At-tahiyyatu lillahi
والصلوات والطيبات. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي. Meaning, peace be upon you, O Prophet. السلام عليك أيها النبي. السلام عليك أيها النبي. ورحمة الله وبركاته. Meaning, and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. ورحمة الله وبركاته. ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. Meaning, peace be upon us and on those who are righteous servants of Allah. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I bear witness that nothing is worthy or deserves to be worshipped besides Allah. أشهدُ أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Meaning, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. After this, the dua that is recited, the prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 3 raka'ah prayer, that is Maghrib, or the 4 raka'ah prayer, that is Dhuhr, and the Asr, and the Isha. In these prayers that contain more than 2 raka'ah, the following dua would be delayed and only recited in the last raka'ah. But in the 2 raka'ah prayer, Al-Fajr, the morning prayer, the dawn prayer, this dua would be recited immediately after At-Tashahud. And the dua is as follows. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin. That is, O Allah, exalt or praise Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. Meaning, just as you did exalt and praise Ibrahim عليه السلام, peace be upon him and his followers. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Meaning, verily you are the praised and the glorious. إنك حميد مجيد. إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على Muhammad. Meaning, O Allah, bless or increase in goodness Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. اللهم بارك على محمد. وعلى آل محمد. And the followers of Muhammad. وعلى آل محمد. وعلى آل محمد. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. Meaning, just as you did bless Ibrahim alayhi salam and his followers. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. إنك حميد مجيد. Meaning, verily you are the praised, the glorious. إنك حميد مجيد. إنك حميد مجيد. After this, the recitation of this dua, it is encouraged that one should recite any supplication that one chooses. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, one may recite what he likes, and that which is preferable to recite are those du'a which are narrated in the Quran or the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before mentioning some of those du'a which may be recited here, one may choose that which he likes here. Before that, we'd like to review the recitation of Tashahud and the Salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-Tashahud. At-Tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And the prayer for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is as follows. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
It is narrated in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, in the Sahih of Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, when we used to pray behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to say, As-salamu ala Jibreel wa Mika'il. That is, we used to say, peace be upon Gabriel and Michael, or Mika'il, the angels. As-salamu ala fulan wa fulan. And we used to say, peace be upon so-and-so and such-and-such. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to us and he said, verily Allah, He is As-salam. That is, this is one of the names of Allah, As-salam. So, if any one of you prays, then he should say, and then he mentioned At-tashahud, At-tahiyyatu lillahi والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning these words of dua, he said, then if any one of you said this dua, then it would have been a dua for every righteous servant in the heavens and the earth. After that, the Prophet ﷺ said, then to say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. That is, I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad ﷺ is his servant and his messenger. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, then he may choose from those supplications which is pleasing to him and make dua with it and supplicate with it. So here, after the recitation of tashahud, according to this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, one may choose that dua that is pleasing to you. So here we'll mention just a few of those supplications that are found in the Quran or in the Sunnah, and one may choose from them to recite or to supplicate whichever one he pleases. From them is the dua which is mentioned in the hadith recorded in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me a dua that I may supplicate with it in my salat. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me a supplication that I may supplicate with it in my salat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him this dua. He said, say, Allahumma inni ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. The meaning of this dua is, O Allah,
Verily, I have wronged myself greatly. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathiran. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wala yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa anta. Meaning, and none or no one forgives sins except you. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Meaning, so forgive me out of your forgiveness, or from the forgiveness that is with you. فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَارْحَمْنِي. Meaning, and have mercy on me. Warhamni. Innaka anta al-ghafooru ar-raheem. Meaning, verily, you are the forgiving, the merciful. Innaka anta al-ghafooru ar-raheem. Innaka anta al-ghafooru ar-raheem. After the recitation of this dua, or any dua that one chooses, at this point the taslim is made, which is the saying, turning one's face to the right, saying Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, meaning peace be on you and the mercy of Allah. Then turning to the left, saying the same thing, Assalamu عليكم ورحمة الله. Peace be on you and the mercy of Allah. This completes your two raka'ah prayer. The four raka'ah prayer, such as Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, are said in identical manner, with the only difference is that in the first two raka'ah of Dhuhr and Asr, Al-Fatiha is said in an inaudible voice, while in the Isha prayer it is recited aloud. If you are performing a three raka'ah prayer, that is Al-Maghrib, or four raka'ah prayer, that is Al-Dhuhr, or Al-Asr, or Al-Isha, then one stands up after tashahud and before reciting any selected dua that you want to say. One stands up saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, and raising one's hands to the shoulders or to the ears, and then begins the third, or the third and fourth rak'ah, by reciting Al-Fatiha.
You must remember that Al-Fatiha is recited silently in the third and fourth rak'ah of the prayer. Also, after the second sajda, in the third rak'ah of Maghrib or in the fourth rak'ah of Dhuhr, Asr and Isha, one says at-tashahud and the prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then any selected dua that pleases you and ends the prayer with at-tasleem, that is the saying of assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, turning to the right, and then assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, turning to the left. This is the end of the prayer.